Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching we're going to do is going to be on a subject about demons and how they work and how they get access to us. I trust you will enjoy this. At the end of the teaching, we'll have a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings free, but we're going to go into the teaching, and you hope you enjoy this very much in Jesus' name. Now then, after what this verse 17, I want you to think about what Jesus might say to us today. Because look what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you or put up with you? Bring him hither to me." Now I can tell you for sure that if we had a lunatic in my Baptist church where I go, and a mother or daddy brought him down the aisle, and he's flopping around and screaming and foaming at the mouth and doing all these things, they'd say, "What are you bringing that kid here for? Call 911, send him to the doctor." Is that what we would do? Sure we would. But now these men have been divinely appointed by the Son of God to cast out demons and to heal the sick. And they've been doing it. But they've run into a very powerful demon. They're intimidated. Just like we would be. You run into a powerful demon, and if we were to bring the boy in the church, which you won't see that happen in most Baptist churches, or not only just Baptist churches, most churches, if you bring him down there, and we had enough knowledge and wisdom to go up there and say, "In the name of Jesus, I command this demon to come out of this boy," and he didn't leave the boy, what would we automatically say? Now see, here it's not God's will to heal them all. Because here's one that didn't get healed, right? So it must not be God's will to heal everybody. But what did Jesus have to say about that when he walked up there? "Oh, you bunch of faithless, unbelieving people. How long am I going to have to be with you? Bring that boy to me." You reckon it's God's will to heal us all every time? Of course it is. So let's go on over and see what he says. And Jesus, in verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the devil," or the demon, "and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now what does that tell you? Even Jesus, it says from that very hour, that demon might have left on one command, and he might have left on two or three, just like we read over there a while ago, a few scriptures back, in the Gadarenes. Jesus, when you read that in all the translations in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find that he had already commanded the demon to leave and they didn't leave. But then he asked them, "What's your name?" That teaches you something. Sometimes you can't get a demon out until you get that demon to name himself. When he names himself, just to give you a little example of how this works, there's a Baptist preacher here in the Fort Worth area, about a year, year and a half ago, called me one Sunday morning about 7 o'clock. He said, "Thurman, I've got a woman that's having tremendous physical problems. Said she's already had a full hysterectomy. She's got stomach cramps. She's got back cramps. She's got all kinds of pains. And said after this full hysterectomy, that didn't solve her problem. Said she won't go out anywhere with her husband. In fact, she's got to where now she wants to stay in the house in the dark at night. And in the daytime, she gets in the closet and closes the door where it's dark." He said, "I don't know how to deal with this woman." He said, "But since you're more knowledgeable in these areas than me, would you meet me at a certain place in Fort Worth this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and I'll take you to this home?" I said, "Yes, I'll go with you." So I met him down there after church that afternoon, and I went down, walked into a home of a people I'd never seen, this woman, her kids, or nothing. I did not know them. But we walked in, introduced me to everybody, the son-in-law, the sister, a husband, four kids, several people was there. And I said, "Well, where's your wife?" And he said, "Well, she's back in the bedroom." I said, "Well, go get her." So they went back there and it's gone a few minutes, and him, the husband, and the sister, and they came back in a few minutes and he said, "She won't see you." I said, "Let's pray. Let's take authority over the situation and then go get her and bring her out." So they did. They went back there and got her. When they brought this woman through the door, the husband was on the left arm, the sister was on the right arm, and she had real heavy black hair. She had her head down like this and her hair all in her face. And that's how she come through the door. And the instant she walked through the door, she never even looked up. Of course, I couldn't see her. I could see her body, but I couldn't see her face or nothing. She immediately began to scream, "I hate you. I hate you. I'm mean. I'll hurt
hurt you. I don't want you in my house. Now, if you're a normal Baptist deacon, would that offend you? Maybe. And you think, gee, I just come over here to help, ma'am. If you don't want me here, I'll... But no, I mean a normal Baptist deacon. So I said, set her down right there. So they set her down right there, and I knelt down in front of her, reached up to touch her hair so I could see her face, and she slapped my hand. She said, don't you touch me. I hate you. I'll hurt you. I said, no, young lady, you don't hate me. I said, the demon of hell that's in you hates me, but you don't hate me. I said, you come out of her, you foul spirit of hell. He said, no, no. I said, you've got to come. No, no, I hate you. I told her husband, I said, your wife's got a spirit of hatred. I said, he didn't just get in there for no reason. I said, who does she hate? Oh, he said, man, that's simple. He said, it's her first husband. I said, well, what happened? He said, this guy married her and they had these first two boys. When his second one here was born, he run off and left her and didn't even come back and left her with this baby as a little bitty thing. He said, man, she's hated him with a passion ever since. I said, now I know what the problem is. I said, you foul spirit of hatred, I command you to go down and not talk to me. I called that woman's name. I said, I command you to come up and I want to talk to you. And I said, now then, I know what the problem is, young lady. You've got a spirit of hatred. He's got legal right to be there because you hate this boy. I said, now then, you must make a decision of your will to forgive this young man from your heart, or I can never get you set free from this demon. He's got legal right to be there. She said, I don't know whether I can do that or not. I said, of course you can. I said, you're never going to be free if you don't do what I tell you. I said, now I want you to repeat after me. I so-and-so forgive so-and-so from my heart. And I literally drug that out of that woman syllable by syllable. Once I got it out of her, I said, now then, Satan, you have no more legal right to this woman. You foul spirit of hatred, I command you to come out of her in Jesus' name. Now, before I had said that, I told her what she needed was Jesus. And she screamed at me, no, I don't want him. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. There's a demon that was talking. The instant I cast that demon out of her, after she confessed her sin, immediately her head come up, her hair come back out of her eyes, and this lovely lady looked at me, and I said, now, young lady, what you need is Jesus. And she said, yes, yes. And I led that little girl right into the kingdom of God, got her filled with the Holy Spirit, and 5 minutes later, this woman that hated me is standing up, grabbing me, hugging me, squeezing me, saying, I love you, praise God, I want you to pray for this boy, and on. Now, what made the difference? The woman had a demon. Why did she have a demon? Because she hated somebody. She had given Satan legal right to come in and torment her life. And that's what they do. Now, how easy was it to get him out? Impossible till I found the sin. When I got the sin confessed, and guess what happened to her cramps, her stomach pains, her back pain, and everything else? They all went away. Did that woman need a full hysterectomy? No. She needed deliverance. Isn't that amazing? The demons of hell cause our problems far more than we know. So you got to get them out. So as we go through here and we find what these things are doing here, we see what has happened there. And after Jesus rebuked the devil, he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. In verse 19 says, then came the disciples to Jesus and asked, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief or your tiny faith. Now you wonder why we can't get things done? Because of either our unbelief or our tiny faith. And so, look what Jesus said there in the rest of that verse. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove yourself to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now wait a minute, I'm not sure my translation reads just like yours. Did yours say in the last part of verse 20, nothing shall be impossible unto you? Did yours literally say that like mine did? If nothing shall be impossible with you, then that means nothing shall be impossible with us as sons of God, right? So then why do we limit ourselves? I mean, I'm just saying what Jesus said, right? I mean, I didn't write this book. He did. And Jesus told me that if I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I shall say unto this mountain, remove from hence and go to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto me. So I could read that and say, if Thurman Scribner has faith, he can speak to that mountain, and it will remove from here, and nothing shall be impossible with Thurman Scribner. I mean, is that right or wrong? So then why do we live so far below where we should live? I mean, we got to get the knowledge of the Word in us and believe what it says, right? And when you get it in you, what can you do? Woo! You can move mountains. That's right. Praise God. Move mountains. And then in Mark chapter 1, turn over to Mark chapter 1, start at verse 21. Now, the book of Mark's got all kinds of these demons in them. I want you to see all several things about who this enemy is and what this beast does. And they went into Capernaum in Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having had authority and not as the scribes. I think it's time we had a few people in our churches that taught like that, instead of like some of these other preachers and teachers that are not telling us what the Word says, because I'm just telling what the Word says. And when people, like that man on the radio last night said that, you know, that told that lady, I don't care what kind of experiences you've had, those things don't happen no more. There's no new revelation. God's not healing people. He's not doing the things He did 2,000 years ago. I said, one of these days I'm going to find out where that Baptist preacher's going to be. And he comes to the Dallas-Fort Worth area pretty often. And I'm going to wait till he gets in a great big church one day, and I'm going to be down there. And when he starts making those kind of statements, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, sir, I've got a few questions. And I've got many ones. And if he wants names and addresses of people that's been miraculously healed, that I've prayed for, or that have demons have been cast out, I can give him a bunch of names and addresses. And I think most of those people, in fact, the other night I was ministering to a lady that was sick with cancer, and her mother said, you know, we go to a Nazarene church that we've never seen a miracle. We never heard anybody tell about these things from the pulpit. Never have we ever heard a live testimony of anybody that's received a miracle. If we could just see one person that really received a miracle. I said, no problem. So that was Tuesday night. I said, how about if I come back Thursday night about 6:30? She said, that'll be fine. So I went and called six people. And five of them showed up at that house between 6:30 and 8:30. And told about nine different miracles, and they were blown away. Isn't that awesome? How many people in the church have never seen a direct answer to prayer? How many people in the church never cast out a demon, seen somebody instantly healed? Most of us. But that's where I was the first 45 years of my life. I never did do it either. But it sure hadn't been like that the last few years.
Stop right there on the teaching today. But we will take up tomorrow right there at the same place. I hope you've enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact us at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And ask for the teachings on the question and the answer. And if you want to go to our website, you can go to www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all the free teachings that you want. We have them there. Just remember, Jesus Christ is our King and our Lord, and He's a mighty God, and we love serving Him. If we can do anything to help you, just contact us. We'll be happy to pray for you or try anything to meet your needs.